pictures.
Praise God.
Tell you what, you've asked Jay to sing that song tonight. I knew I'd crack up. It just cracks me up every time I hear it. And I was sitting up here having a lot of flashbacks about people that had shared their lives with me. It was special. And I know it was special to you. Thank you, Jay, for doing that for us tonight. And what a privilege it is to be in God's house and to be one of God's dear children tonight. And you know, it leaves us with a responsibility, a great responsibility that we have to share Him with others. And that's part of what my message is about. In fact, that's all that my message is about tonight. I thought, oh, as they prepared the way tonight and they talked about stepping in the water and being obedient to the Lord, and then we sang when we all go to heaven, I looked over at our sister and I said, you know what? I think we've got a little bit of work to do yet before we make it there. We still got some tasks to do. And I said, especially in light of what the Lord has given me, I know we still have some jobs to do. So we just appreciate each of you being here tonight, and we appreciate each of our ladies that labor so hard. And many times, it's one of sometimes those thankless tasks, and nobody knows what you're doing behind the scenes, but we love and appreciate you. And these ladies stand behind us. As a WM rep of this Bryan section, I feel their prayers, and I feel their support every day that we live, and we thank you for that. And it's just a privilege to be able to serve with such a body of people that love the Lord with all their heart. That's where it all comes from, is the love of the Lord that makes you what you are, and being so giving and being so obedient unto the Lord. And as I look at the word tonight, I want us to look, and you've already got this scripture printed in your bulletin. But as I had begun to pray, and some time ago, Sister Harrison had asked me about speaking, and the Lord began dealing with me at that time. But right after that, there came a day when I was down praying. I was preparing for a spiritual breakaway and some things that I was going to be doing. And right in the middle of praying and over all of that, I just began to pray and to speak in the tongues. And the Lord said, take a pen and pencil. And I thought, oh, this is new, Lord. I've never done this before. And He said, now you begin to write. And I was just speaking in tongues and just beginning to write. And I am a one-track person. I mean, I've got a one-track mind. I have to do one thing at a time a lot of times. And I thought, hey, Lord, this is exciting. And He began to share with me. So if you don't like the scripture tonight, and I know there are people that would say, well, I just don't want to hear that again. It is something that is read at every missions convention. It's something that's read when anybody wants you to do something and just really commit yourself to it. Well, I'll have to say, my friends, I didn't write the Bible tonight. The holy men of God wrote it as they were moved under the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit. And we're told in 2 Timothy 3:16-17 that it is God's inspired word. And let me tell you what, it's our roadmap. If you're needing direction tonight, the Lord has it for you. He can show it to you in His word. It's not only that, it's not only our roadmap, but we find it is profitable for all things. It's been inspired for God, for our inspiration, and for our doctrine and for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be thoroughly furnished and perfect unto all good works. So I can't argue with the author tonight, so I am going to read the passages of scripture out of John 4:35, where it says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. And I trust that tonight, before you leave this place, that your heart will be so stirred, and not just stirred, but be so stirred that you will go into action for God. And just notice I said stirred into action. You know, all just because a milkshake, you've got all those, it takes a lot of things to make a real good milkshake. You know, you got to get the milk in there, and you put that cream in there, and you just put all those goodies in there. And if you don't whip that thing and stir it up, it won't be a milkshake, because you've got to,
just because it has all the right ingredients, all the vanilla and all the good whipped cream and all that good stuff that you put in there, that if you just smell it, you start blowing up, you know. I mean, bodily, physically, you know. If you partake of it too much, and most of us have to back off and say, we'll save that for somebody else. Let somebody else partake of that goodie. But just because it's got all the right ingredients does not make it a milkshake in the hands of the preparer. The preparer has to do something with it. It has to be stirred and stirred into action. And I trust that tonight we will let God provoke us into action and to challenge us and so stir us that we will grab a vision that we have never heretofore had for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we will just grab onto it and let him just renew us and sharpen the vision that he is going to give every one of you. And he said, you look out there and you see the fields, they're ripe and they're ready to harvest. And that means that there's something that's going to have to be done. And we want to go back and define our title tonight, committed to the task. If we're committed to something, that means to pledge to do something, to be involved, to participate in, or be determined to act upon. In other words, you've got to be a part of it. If you're committed to anything, involved in, taking action in, and that might mean just sitting down all the time, but it means, hey, you've got to go to work. You've got to do something. Commit means you're ready. And I mean, you have prepared and you're ready to just get out there and do it. And I trust tonight that God will just so stir our hearts that he'll put us in his, if he's got a great big milkshake machine, that he'll just put us in there and turn it on full blast and let us be stirred for the Lord. And stirred enough, not just to be stirred, but just to be stirred into action and involvement and to become a part of the harvest of that grain field that is out there that's ripe and it's ready to be harvested. We must be committed. And the task, then we think of a task, and most of us don't like that word because it assigns us a duty, a job, and an assignment. And most of us don't like assignments, we don't like jobs, we don't like duties, we're just lazy. But there comes, you don't get anything done by being lazy. And if you procrastinate, it will never be done. And we have to get busy if we're going to accomplish a task. We have to put our all into it. We have to say, I am going to be committed. I'm going to involve myself in this task, in this job. And I tell you, I'm going to get the job done. Now, when I was a kid, I was raised on a farm. You wouldn't know that by my Texas language. You wouldn't realize I was raised on a farm now, really, would you? But I really was. I was my daddy's farmhand. The two older boys had gone in the service, and then here came along my sister and I. And we were daddy's, I was daddy's right-hand man. She liked to sit in the house because she didn't like to get her hands dirty. You know, she was Miss Press. But you know, I like to get out there and I do everything my daddy do and try to do it better. And I just get out there and slop the pigs and do everything, you know. And she'd say, phew, when you came in the house. I said, well, I'm going to take a bath after a while. But I got out there and I got involved with that job. And you know, then in the summertime, it was time to harvest. And I'll never forget those times of the big old Texas diamond black, you know, diamondback watermelons. We used to raise those big things, and my daddy was the president of the Watermelon Association, and it'd come time to get those things, and I would get a hold of a watermelon that would be twice as big as I, and I would just try to lift it with all my might because I thought I could do everything that they did. I got involved with it, and my dear little old uncle used to laugh all the time, and he laughed till the day he died about the way I used to tackle the biggest watermelon in the field and think that I could handle it. Well, you know, I've always wanted to tackle it. And you know what? The Lord has put us here with a task to tackle the devil and not be afraid of him and not run when he gets after us or anything else. But he said he would make us the head and not the tail. And we don't listen to him. He's not our taskmaster. He didn't give us assignment. God gave us an assignment, and we're to be devil destroyers. praise God in the task that he has given us to do. We've got a mission to do. So if we've got all that, we're going to be committed to the task. That means we have got to become and evolved in the assignment that Jesus has given us. He says here, look up and lift up your eyes and behold the fields, for they're white unto harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and he gathereth fruit unto what? Eternal life. Praise God. And both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Every born again man and woman, boy and girl, has been assigned a task. We were not just saved and just sat up on the stool of do nothing, but God intends us to go into action, not to keep what God has given unto us and hide it under a bushel, but he said we were to be the light of the world. God's looking for some more lights to shine in the midst of the darkness, and darkness cannot stay where the light comes. Darkness flees. Christians, do we have a job to be committed to the task? I say yes, we do. We've got a lot of darkness out there to dispel. Especially when we are told today that therein there are over half the world's population who have never heard the full gospel. They might have heard a portion, they might have heard a gospel, but as far as the full gospel as we know it, over half the world's population still ready to hear it. And waiting. I'm glad it came my way, and I am so glad that I want to get involved and I want to share it with someone else. That's what the Lord wants us to do. And in the Assemblies of God, if you don't already know it, they're preparing for the decade of the harvest. But the time to prepare is today, and begin to put into actions so that we can really begin to reap the harvest. You know, if we waited until then, precious grain would fall to the ground. The time is now. The time is now. And we are told, even in our communities, our towns, and our cities today, they are filled with hundreds of people who are searching and they're seeking for truth and reality. I heard some statisticians say this, that 26 billion a year is spent on crime in our country today. $26 billion a year spent on crime. And how much do we spend on the gospel of Jesus Christ? 62 million babies are born each year, and of those, 1 million are taken to the hospitals by the hands of their own parents who have been battered and beaten. 10 million are not taken to the hospital that are abused, and 5 million die at the hands of the parents or relatives because of abuse and neglect. Wow. Think of those souls. And think of the monies that our country spends on crime. And we realize that our streets are full of gangs. People are seeking God in every way, through drugs, through sex, through alcohol, through all kind of measures. Why? Because they're searching to satisfy the knowing in their heart that we were all born with a desire to know Jesus Christ and a seeking after him. And you and I have the water and the bread of life that we could entrust and give to them and break with them if we were willing to break it and give them just a crumb. Wow, what a responsibility you and I have today. And we need to share it. It isn't just enough for us to just be hearers of the word, but we have got to be a doer of the word. That it word gets out. We are responsible. We've got, all of us have been called into the harvest field. It's not just a job that's left for the pastor, the teachers, the Sunday school teachers, the missionettes, the rainbow workers, the women's ministries, the men's departments, and all of the other things. It's not just a task, but every one of us that are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ are called to be a reaper and to commit ourselves to the task of sharing Jesus Christ to a hurting world. It may be just through your neighbor inviting them over for a cup of coffee and say, let me share Jesus with you. Or they'll see you with a smile on your face, and they'll say, what have you been up to? And I say, nothing but Jesus. Glory to God. And it opens a door, and you can share with them. I tell you, I had a lady almost faint on me one day in the store. As we walked in, and I did my business with her, and I just reached over. I didn't say a word, and just simply I said, you have been so kind to me, and I handed her a tract. That lady took that, and she began to look through it and look through it, and she looked again, and she watched me all the way out of that store. But the Lord wouldn't let me say a thing, but he let me leave that as a witness. And I guarantee you, she was taking it apart piece by piece and beginning to look at it and thought, who is this strange goose that's just come in here? Who is this? I tell you, it's time we get radical for Jesus Christ. Not be afraid. The world gets awfully radical when they go to the ball game. And why should we be quiet when we have something that's so much better than a ball game? Something that is eternal, that is like a fire within our bones. And the man of God said it's like a fire that's shut up, that has got to be gotten out. Friends, we have something that can solve the world's problems. Here over the Halloween season, this year, as most of you know, and Joel, our son, is a student at Southwestern, and they were going out on the streets of Dallas, and they began to hunt for different ones to go with them. I think he ended up with one more faithful guy that went with him, and another group sent about 300 kids to go and work the streets of Dallas on Halloween night. He said, Mama, you have never seen such a mess of humanity in your life. But we went out, and he said, Mama, he said, I want you to know, and we had prayed that God would send angels with them, and that God would make the way. He said, Mother, I've never seen anything like it. As we would begin to go, said the policemen, they would get out and they would try to block our ways. The gays and all these others, as they were sharing, they would try to get in the road and block their way and keep them from sharing. He said, the police came along and they would just push them out of the way and said, listen to these people. They have something that can bring you deliverance. I tell you, the world realizes what it is. It's nothing within ourselves but the power of God that can release the chains that mankind is bound by today. Every drug addiction can go in the name of Jesus. Everyone that's bound by witchcraft and uncleanness of any kind goes at the name of Jesus. Not in our name, but in the name of Jesus. And when he is lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. How do we lift him up daily in our lives? You talk about a job to do. We have got a massive, massive job to do in the harvest field. And you know, God is looking for available people, not perfect people. Sometimes we say, well, oh, I just can't be a witness for the Lord. I've got this imperfection or something else. Use what you got, for goodness sakes, for the Lord, and he'll perfect it later down the line. You know, God is not, he doesn't ask about our abilities or our inabilities, but about our availabilities. You know, when Moses was called, Moses said, well, man, I'm not an eloquent speaker. I can't sway the people, and I can't do that. And Lord, I can't even talk right. You know, I've seen men of God that were called of God that could hardly read the word of God. They call the books in this blessed book everything but right. But God used them because they were called of God. They were anointed of God. They were vessels that were willing to be used of God. And God has used them mightily through the years to proclaim his word because they were available to him. How available are we today to give of ourselves to the Lord? Moses said, well, Lord, I just can't do all those things. He said, don't worry about it, Moses. I've got an Aaron that I'll send with you. And it came on down there a little ways, and Moses began to get tired. God raised up on her to go with Aaron, and they lifted up his arms, and the children of Israel were victorious. You see, our task is not only to go and to tell, but to stay in our prayer closets and to get on our face before God, for our pastors, for our teachers, for our leaders, for our country today, and spend time, quality time in that closet, and come out touched by the fire of God. And that is what is going to release the captives today. You and I have it within our hands if we will release it. Praise God. I tell you, he's given us something to share. And somebody said, and this is a quote, they said, well, a job worth doing is worth doing with all your might. But others would say, be careful how well you do it, for it may become your job or your task forever. God has given us a task that will not cease until we step into his presence. And then I have a feeling the assignment's just going to begin. As we serve him there around the throne. Praise God, we have a job to do. We've got a task to do. And are we going to be committed to get the job done? Many fear to give their best because they fear a permanent assignment. That would mean a commitment on their part or a job or a task, and they want nothing to do with the permanent assignment. Bless the Lord. I feel sorry for them, don't you? Every suicide pilot, every terrorist is not afraid to give everything he has for the one he's looking up to. The communists do not fear to give totally to Marxism to accomplish their purpose. And what is wrong with us today in not being totally committed? Are we afraid of what God's going to do? Let me tell you, he will not ask you to do anything that you're incapable of doing, but will furnish all the capabilities that you need to do the task that he'll assign you to. And it won't be a far-fetched thing that he knows that you could do it, or he wouldn't have asked you to do it. And it's a job that he wants, and he especially handpicked you to do. Didn't you like to participate in activities in school, and your name got called, and you were handpicked? I mean, and you just went and you tried to do the best job you could. Every one of us tonight have an assignment. We have been handpicked by the Lord to do for him. Why do we resist assignments and a commitment? For many of us, it's sometimes because it's going to take prayer and Bible reading, and we're, can I use the word again? Lazy. Wow. Woo. That takes commitment. And a lot of times people say, well, if I just don't read the word, I won't know what it says, and therefore I'll not be responsible. Friend, you are responsible because you have the knowledge to know to do it. And he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And my Bible said sin will never enter there. So you better take another look. And you better open the book. And you better get down on your prayer bones and crawl in that prayer closet or going down the road or whatever you have to do to get close to God and commit to the work and the task that's before you. If not, you're going to find yourself sinking in back out there where the enemy is and all of his forces. But we're on God's side tonight. We're going to be committed to the task, aren't we? Praise the Lord. Praise God. And others, they say, well, there's a risk involved. I cannot risk my reputation to go with those people that are classified Pentecostals. I'm reserved. I never lift my voice. And I don't want anybody to know I'm a Christian, but I love the Lord. Baloney. We don't love the Lord because he doesn't have closet Christians. If he did, he got a hold of the wrong one when he got a hold of me. Because I enjoy serving him. And I enjoy giving the devil black eye. And the more black eyes I can give the devil, the more and the happier I get. And you know, I tell you what. God wants us to be bold in him and in the things of him. Not being afraid. Risk is involved, but if we don't respond to the call and to the task, the grain is going to be lost forever. When the harvest is ripe and you don't get out there and begin to gather it, it's not going to be long. A monsoon rain will come along like we had a few weeks ago and take it all down, and it will all have been lost. And it's good for nothing. It has to be harvested, and it's harvest time in the kingdom of God. It's time for us to get involved, and it's going to cost you something. And other people say, well, I don't like that. That's all we hear is money, money, money. It's not always money that it's going to cost you, but it's going to cost you personal sacrifice of your time, your talents, and giving your all to Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, I'm witness that it is worth it. Whatever the cost, to serve Jesus Christ. And I think every one of you could attest to that tonight. It's worth the cost. It's worth the cost, whatever it costs. Jesus was misunderstood by many of his followers, and they begin to tell him, they said, "Well, Lord, this is a hard way, and we don't want it." And you know, the scripture records that there were some that went back and never followed him again from that day because they thought it was a hard saying, but he'll never ask you to do something that he will not equip you for, and something that would be, it'll be too hard for you, but not for him as a yielded vessel. In his hands, you can accomplish great things at the hand of God. Our task of reaching out to a lost world is monumental, and it demands urgency. The closing hours are ticking down, and how many times have we heard that? Countries are closing to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why do WMs and men's ministries and churches work today? It's to get the light out for the night shades fall, and the gospel can't be gotten in. But once they have had a light, just a glimmer of light, that light begins to grow even behind closed doors, because God anoints his word, and he raises up an army, if they have to go underground, that are going to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. They're not afraid to be involved. It might mean their life, but they're going to commit to it anyway. Commit to the task. Commit to the task. We've got a responsibility to reach our world. I came across this song in looking over some of the materials for our WM Day program. It says, "I cannot sleep for hearing them. Lord, I'm ashamed. I've not heard them before. Please stir my heart for these souls more and more. People are crying in darkness and sin. I must go to them to tell them of him. I cannot sleep for hearing them cry. They're always on my mind. Send me today, Lord. Do not delay, for I cannot sleep for hearing them cry. Stumbling along in the darkness of the night, groping so blindly in search of a light, wandering alone and with heartache and pain, I must go tell of his wonderful name. I cannot sleep for hearing them cry. Millions are dying, no hope but the grave. No one to tell them of his power to save. No one to save them from sin's despair. Lord, send me to them to tell them you are theirs. I cannot sleep for hearing them cry. Lord, when I stand at that day on your shore, let them surrender me. Let them surround me, whom I've pleaded for. No greater joy could be granted to me than to be embraced by those who bowed down before thee there. I cannot sleep for hearing them cry." And the words of a song that were shared at our last WM Monies for Mission banquet says these words about the untold millions. And this was given to us by our sister Paula Flower, a wonderful veteran missionary. "Does anyone deserve to hear the gospel twice when millions have never heard it once? There are those who have never heard, who know nothing about God's word. How can they know unless we go? How can their hearts be stirred? Untold millions still untold. Does it matter? Does it matter to you? Untold millions, young and old. Does it matter? Does it matter to you? There are those who live in despair, in darkness beyond compare. In blindness they wait a cruel fate, alone with no one to care. Untold millions still untold. Does it matter? Does it matter to you? For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, and that included everyone. Yet there are untold millions still untold. Does it matter? Does it matter to you?" And I think we need to ask ourselves that question: how much does it matter to us? And you say, "Well, the task is too large and we cannot possibly do it." But God says we can, with a commitment to him. And how can we do it? The first place we're going to have to start is going back to the altars. For a fresh and renewed anointing of the Holy Ghost and fire to be his witnesses. I like what the Amplified Version tells us on this scripture in 2 Timothy 1:6. It says, "That is why I remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers, fan the flame, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by means of the laying on of the hands with those of the elders at your ordination." Our fires have to be rekindled and fanned into flame today. And I trust that's what this is doing for you tonight. That those embers that are just become embers and they're just beginning to smolder and all they're doing is sending up smoke will be touched with a new fire of the Holy Spirit. And when we return back to our altars and ask God for that fresh anointing, you can't hold them, Pastor. You're not going to be able to stop them from getting into the harvest because of the anointing of God that he will send anointing for the task. It will never, never, never be accomplished in our own strengths, in our abilities, and in our might, and in our power. It can only be done by one means, and that is, as Zechariah tells us in 4:6, it's not by might and not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Don't let the devil try to render you inadequate. Climb back in your prayer closet and you can accomplish the task that God has set for you. We must be touched anew and afresh with the fresh coals right off from the altar, as spoken above in Isaiah the 6th chapter, where it says, "And the angel came down and he took the coal from off the altar and he put it up on his tongue and he laid it up on my mouth and he said, Lo, this has touched thy lips and thine iniquity are taken away and thy sins purged." The scripture Romans 12:11 that was shared with us this morning, for us not to be slothful in business and to be fervent in spirit and serving the Lord, being on fire, be moving, be touched by the Holy Ghost fire. That's what it's going to take. And when we look at Acts 1:8, that power, or that fire, that the power that was associated with the Holy Spirit on that day was for the empowerment, the ability, the efficiency, and the might to be an effective witness for Jesus Christ. He gives the boldness to be effective. And let this be the battle cry of the church. It says these words, "Give us a watchword for the hour, a thrilling word, a word of power, a battle cry, a flaming breath, a call to conquest or to death, a word to rouse the church from rest, to heed the master's high behest. The call is given, ye hosts arise, the watchword is evangelize. To fallen man, a dying race, make known the gift of gospel grace. The world that now in darkness lies, O church of God, arise, evangelize." We need that new watchword. And I tell you, when we come out of our closets and we've been touched afresh and anew by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you will start a fire that no one can put out, because it's coming by God, and you're going to see a harvest if you'll not be afraid to commit to the task of serving him. Some say, "Well, I'll just wait. I'll go on, and I'll wait until 1990, and I'll wait for a harvest, and I'll just, you know, do my little thing right now, and somebody else will do the job." He wants you. Everyone enlisted in his army. We heard in the midst of the Holy Ghost given this message this morning that God was raising up an army. And I tell you, if he's got one going, I want to march in step with the leader, the Holy Spirit, and get in the army of God that is committed to their Savior with boldness to witness unto others. God is counting on you. He's counting on you to accomplish the task that he wants to be accomplished. Another verse of song that was shared by Sister Paula was these words, "I am counting on you. When I glimpse the millions dying, when I hear their lost souls crying, then to God I make this plea, O Lord, these souls need thee." He replies in words so true, I must work through you. Whatever it costs, reach thou the lost. I am counting on you. I'm counting on you. Will you give? Will you pray? Go or stay? And it says then, Lord, impress some other's heart to hear the message in his part, that his silver he must share and spend more time in prayer. Then it seems he speaks to me, I have chosen thee. Whatever I ask to fulfill that task, I am counting on you. Don't ask God to send somebody else to do the task that he's in charge in your hands. We are his witnesses. We are his children to go forth and to bear souls. He is counting on us. In response to my cry, he says, give me your very all for the work that's left to do. I am counting on you. And I ask us tonight, will we do as the words are said? And in Matthew 9 and 38, it says for us to pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into the field. And I think that's to ask the Lord to send helpers to come along that will help in the harvest that is so great before us. And he didn't just say, now Jesus be it and you just see it out there, but he said there was something that was going to take something on our part to get the job done for the Lord. And we look at Joel 3, and I love the word tonight. Joel 3, 13 and 14 lists a command for us as it tells us these words, put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Doesn't that sound like a description of Bryan College Station, our world? You know, the thing, we sometimes look at God in such a long-range plan, and I'm getting my tongue all tangled up, but that's all right. You'll understand it by and by. But anyway, we seem to look down the road and we'll say, well, Lord, I can't be a missionary. You're a missionary in your own neighborhood if you'll make you available to do that, to invite that neighbor in that you know is having a problem and they just need somebody to listen to. I know one day a lady called me and she must have talked to me 2 hours or 2.5 hours. At that particular time, I was so busy, I thought, God, will you get her off the end of the line? And God just began to prick my heart, and he said, she needs somebody to listen to, and you sit down and you listen. Whoa, Lord. I said, well, in my mind, I was thinking, Lord, do you know this? He said, I said, sit down and shut up. Boy, when he told me that, you know what I did? I just leaned back on my couch. I put my feet on the coffee table and I said, Lord, I'll be here till the duration. I mean, I'll stick it out. Lord, I'll listen. And that lady actually talked and talked and talked. And now I like to talk. The pastor, she gave me a raise. I just let her talk. And finally, when it was time to hang up, she began to cry and she said, you know, you're the only one that took time to listen to me. And I said, oh, God, I nearly failed you. I mean, you know, that's a lot. That'll give you the energy to make it up down the line somewhere. If God has somebody that needs a listening ear, commit to the task to listen. The world needs somebody to listen to them. Somebody that will listen. Somebody that'll care. To just bake a little loaf of bread and take it over and said, I thought of you. Put it in the mail. Be that encourager. Talk to us about it the last WM rally. And if you missed that one, you missed a goodie. I've heard that one. I've heard it before. And I said, Sister Joan, I think it's so needed. Would you repeat that? And I tell you, second time around was better than the first time. I tell you, God blessed me. And if it's picking up a card, just now, I'm in prayer. I took your name to the Lord. That's doing something for the Lord. You see, he gives us and he tells you what we can do. If it's listening until your phone grows to the, your ear grows to the phone, listen anyway. Somebody listen to us. Oh, I think sometimes I wore the patience of the saints out. They listen to me so much. But God just needs a willing vessel. The world needs. Said, there are multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. What did he say? He said it was going to take involvement, didn't he? He said, put ye in the sickle. We've got to rise, church. We've got to rise, WM's children's boys and girls, men and women, to join the army of the Lord and be committed to the task of winning our world to Jesus Christ. And then if he so deems to send us out, well, he'll make the way. Because he won't ask you to do something that he doesn't prepare the way before you. Praise the Lord. Will we commit ourselves to do it? And about a couple of weeks ago, the Lord so impressed a scripture upon my heart out of Haggai 2:19. Just this part of it, is the seed still in the barn? You know, sometimes we're so prone to come to the house of God, and we'll say, well, bless the Lord, it's Sunday, and I'm going to go, and Pastor Durham is going to preach two wonderful sermons today, and I'm going to go home, and 10 minutes after, I've forgotten about it, but I know it was good at that time, and Lord, I know I need to go to church, and we depend on it, but what did we do before we came to church to help God prepare the vessel that he was going to use to deliver the word through? And if we did not prepare our hearts and we did not pray for our pastor, we have failed. Will we commit ourselves to put in the sickle and do something, take action? Stirred into action. I want us to do that and commit ourselves to the task of winning the lost at any cost. With the Lord's help, will we dedicate our lives to more active prayer life and Bible study to see the lost one to Christ? Will we pledge our loyalty to our church? Not only with our presence there, but with our prayers and with our financial support and with our backing of every kind to build up the work of the kingdom of God and see it go forth. Will we strive to be more sensitive to the leadings of the Holy Spirit? And I trust we will. Be committed to say, Lord, talk to me and I will listen. And then take time to sit down and listen to his leadings to you. Be more responsible throughout our communities. And will we be alert tonight to seize the opportunities that are given to us to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ in our workplace, in the hospitals, in the halls, wherever it is, to commit ourselves? Will we strive diligently to seek and to reach the people of the world? In your mind, can you hear the cries of the people? I pray that God caused such as a burden of prayer to come upon us. How long has it been since we have literally wept and waited upon God for the lost souls that we know that are lost, and unless they're reached, they're going to a devil's hell, and we may be responsible if we have not done our part in praying for them. Some of you touch people that others will never touch, and you're the only one that's a Christian that they come in contact with. It puts a heavy responsibility and a task upon us. Will we be committed to the task of praying for that individual? There's teenagers, there's young mothers, there are fathers, there are grandmothers. They're all in need of the Lord. Isaiah 33:20 says we need to sow our seed beside all. With the Lord's help, will we commit ourselves to the task God has given us for it to be completed? Will you bow your heads at this time? I trust tonight that God has spoken to every one of our hearts. I know the Lord did a number on me as I prepared for this. The task is too great that lays before us for any one of us to do the job. But God wants us to draw into our prayer closets and to realize the job is too big for us, and we're going to rely upon him, and we're going to adhere to God and listen to him to fill the slot that God wants us to fill. Tonight, if God has stirred your heart, would you listen to him? Would you commit yourself to him? As we all stand, and musicians, you may go ahead and play, Sister Helen. Will you surrender all? And I pray that we have those that will surrender themselves to be more than they have ever been before for the Lord. As we stand, perhaps, and as our heads are still bowed, maybe you say, I am one that has neglected my duties in reaching out to my neighborhood, to those that are about me. I've been negligent, and I want to commit myself and pledge myself to greater prayer support and being that harvester that God wants me to be. Remember, he says, put ye in the sickle. That's a job assignment for us. Will we commit ourselves to the task? Will we commit ourselves to do what God wants us to do? Oh, God, Jesus. Maybe there are those in this service tonight, you have never fully ever yet surrendered your life to the Lord. This is your opportunity tonight. You can raise your hand where you are, or if you want to make your way to this altar tonight as she plays, will you come and give your life to the Lord if you've never surrendered it totally to Him? You want to do that tonight? I trust and I pray that God has moved your heart tonight. Father God, we just bring this portion of this service to you tonight, Lord. We believe that there are those in this service, Lord, that their embers have been fired once again. Lord, you have fanned those coals that have laid there somewhat dormant. Lord, you want to put a new fresh fire within them tonight, Lord. You want to touch them, Lord, with a fresh coal right from off your altars tonight. And you want to lay it upon their mouth that they will be a mouthpiece, Lord, for you. That, Lord, they'll never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For, Lord, we feel that many times we have bowed our heads and we have not been the witness that you've wanted many of us to be. Father, forgive us of that tonight. Take us where we are, Lord, as we present ourselves to you. Let us commit to you. Will you come tonight if you're in this service and you want to commit and surrender your life totally, unreservedly to the Lord tonight to do His will in your life? Don't be afraid of what He's going to ask you to do. Remember, He equips those He calls, and He will give you the equipment that you need to do the task He's calling upon you to do. And I don't believe God gave us this message for any just a frivolous thing to have done. But I believe there's people here tonight that need to make a commitment to the Lord, and this is your opportunity to avail yourselves and have others pray with you that you will be that committed vessel to the Lord. Step right out. Step into the waters tonight as the waters of trouble and the Lord moves throughout our auditorium tonight. You want to take that stand for the Lord. Make that commitment to Him tonight to be all that He wants you to be. The altars are open. Will you come tonight? We need to spend time waiting upon the Lord, committing ourselves to the task that He's given unto us to do. He needs reapers. He needs harvesters. Grain is falling. The night is falling for many. They'll not have much longer to get into the ark of safety. We have the responsibility to win our world. God bless you. Some of you come in if you'd like to and pray with these that have come forward. Others of you, I still feel, need to come and totally commit yourself to the Lord, along with these that are renewing and recommitting and new consecrations to the Lord. Give your all to Jesus tonight. Be His vessel to be used of Him tonight. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. I ask you to find a place of prayer wherever you are, if you want to come to the front. But please take time to pray tonight. Praise God.